Right. So it says here that this Damodarashtaka is found in the Padma Purana of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Yes. And is spoken by Satyavrata Muni in a conversation with Narada and Shonaka Rishi. Now here's a quote from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. In the month of Kartik, one should worship Lord Damodar and daily recite the prayer known as Damodarashtak, which has been spoken by the sage Satyavrata and which attracts Lord Damodar. Are we ready? Okay. And I hope my translation is the same as yours. Namamishwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajaman. Let's do it together. Namamishwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Biolukalat Davamanam Paramrishyam Atyantato Drutya Gopagya. Again. Yashoda Biyoluka Ladhavamanan Paramrishyam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. I'll see the first translation. To the Supreme Lord, whose form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge, and bliss, whose shark-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro, who is beautifully shining in the divine realm of Gokula, who due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and then stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing, is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Yashoda, but who has been caught from behind by her, who ran after him with greater speed. To that Supreme Lord, what's his name? Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. So is my translation the same as yours? All right, well, so let's do a little quiz. So it says here, Krishna's form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge, and bliss. What is the Sanskrit? Satchidananda, Rupa, or Vigraha. The form. It has to have the form. Otherwise, impersonalists say Satchidananda. No Vigraha, no Rupa. Because they don't believe the Absolute Truth has a form. Okay. And what kind of earrings does Krishna have? Shark-shaped. Very good. Oh, some words? Okay, I'm sorry. Huh? All right. So the earrings are shark-shaped. Okay. Now, this Gokul, that's where Krishna lived in the early years. And then at a certain point, Nanda Maharaj's brother, Upananda, he had a big meeting. And he said, we have to leave this Gokul because there's so many demons coming, always trying to kill Krishna. So he said, I know of a place we could go, Vrindavan. And so that's when they left Gokul and they went on. What did they go on? Did they take a taxi? Huh? Bullock carts. Yes. Yeah, Gokul still exists. Right near Vrindavan. Because when I first went to Vrindavan in 1975, that's where I wound up. I kept telling the guy, I want to go to Krishna Balaram Mandir. He took me all the way to Gokul. That's different. So there is Gokul. Okay. Who, due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and if you read the Bhagavatam, This incident took place on a very special day, Diwali. And the Bhagavatam, yes? After this incident, they moved. Thank you. Thank you, Rama. See? We have a scholar in our midst. Very humble, very meek and humble. So, it was Diwali day. So the question becomes, why was Yashoda churning the butter? She has so many servants. She's the big queen. Why is she churning the butter on this day? Okay, here's the reason. The reason was, if you read the previous chapters, what was Krishna and Balaram? What kind of nonsense were they doing? Yes. And in neighbor's house, and passing stool and urine, if they didn't like the taste of the butter and yogurt, they were doing all kinds of nonsense. And the neighbors were complaining. They went to Yashoda and said, your son is doing this nonsense. So on this day, Yashoda said, why is Krishna going to the neighbors? He must not like the food he's getting at home. So Yashoda has special cows. And from those special cows, she was making this butter for Krishna. Because she said, obviously he doesn't like the butter he's getting at home. So today I'm going to take the milk from those special cows and make something very tasty for Krishna. Right. She wanted to do it. Yes. And while she was doing, she was singing songs about Krishna's pastimes. Okay. Breaking the pot of... So why did Krishna break the pot of yogurt? Why? No. Why did he break the pot? No. You have not read the story? Yes. Where was she? Right. Okay, here's what happened. While she was churning, Krishna came and indicated, I want to drink your breast milk. Yashoda stopped the churning and was feeding Krishna and looking at him. But then she heard that sound that all cooks know. Something is boiling over. So she had to put Krishna down to tend to the milk that was boiling over on the stove. Anyone who's cooked, right? As soon as something is boiling over, you got to take care of it for two reasons. Your stove is going to be a mess and your preparation is going to be ruined, right? So when there's a problem in the kitchen, you take care of it right away. Could have a fire, right? Working with the kitchen, the fire is serious business. So when Krishna was put down, he became angry because he wasn't finished drinking. So that's why he broke the pot. He was angry. Why my mother has left me? I'm not finished. That's why. And then stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing. Now, when he was stealing the butter that was hung from a swing, who was he giving the butter to?
Monkeys.
And in Vrindavan, there are many monkeys. Even in Delhi. When I went to Delhi in December, where I was staying, there were all these monkeys, a big monkey family would come. I remember when the monkeys, they caused trouble. Sometimes they take your japa beads. Sometimes they steal your watch. Yes, glasses. Yes, okay. Now, it says here, in fear of Mother Yashoda. Now, this is very interesting. Because one of the very first verses of Bhagavatam, Fear personified is afraid of Krishna's name. Fear personified is afraid of even Krishna's name. What to speak of Krishna? But who is Krishna afraid of? Yashoda. So that's why in the Bhagavatam, at the end, Shukadeva Goswami says, Mother Yashoda is Vimukti. She's more elevated than Lakshmi, Brahma, or Shiva. Why? Two reasons. They don't get to breastfeed Krishna, and Krishna is afraid of Yashoda. Okay. Shall we go to verse 2? Alright, let's do verse number 2. If you want to play drum, please do so. If you could play Prabhupada beat, if I may ask that. Rudantang mahur netra yugmam ridyantam karambhoja yugmena satanka netram. Everybody, Rudantang netra yugmam ridyantam karambhoja yugmena satanka netram. Mushvasa kampa trire kanka kanta stita grivam damodaram bhakti badham. Muhusvasa kampa trire kanka kanta stita grivam damodaram bhakti badham. Very good. Don't go away. Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand, he is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. So why does Yashoda have a whipping stick in her hand? Huh? To punish him. Why? First of all, he broke the pot that she was churning. Now the question is, how was Yashoda able to figure out where Krishna was? Because he was hiding. How did she figure out where he was? Huh? What kind of footsteps? Yes. Obviously, he must have stepped in the butter. So she just had to trace out the butter-smeared footprints. Okay. Now, his eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell, is shaking because of his quick breathing due to crying. To this Supreme Lord, that's his name? Sri Damodar. Everybody say? Whose belly is bound not with ropes, but with his mother's pure love, I offer my humble obeisances. And the word in the song, Bhakti Badham. Everybody say. Now, in the story, how short was the rope? 2 fingers or 2 inches. And the miracle was that no matter how much rope she added, it was still 2 fingers or 2 inches too short. Krishna was showing everybody, Yashoda and us also, that you cannot bind me with any kind of rope. Another word, Sanskrit word for rope, guna. So you cannot capture Krishna if you stay in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. You have to be a pure devotee. And he's not bound by ropes. Only when Yashoda became completely frustrated and tired from gathering so many ropes, then Krishna allowed himself, that's the key word, he allowed himself to be tied up by Mother Yashoda, but only actually because of her love. Nobody else can tie up Krishna. You have to tie him up with love. We learned that when we studied our nectar of devotion some years ago here at Kundan Loka. we learned that Krishna is ajita, unconquerable. But there is one thing that can conquer Krishna, and that is love. Same thing last night, my program last night, I was speaking about a specific scene in the Rasa dance. When Krishna had left the gopis, and when the gopis met up with Radharani, what did they do? Anybody know? Yes, they sat down on the bank of the Yamuna and they sang Gopi Gita, the most elevated chapter in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. That Gopi Gita basically is crying out in separation, please, Krishna, please come and be with us. While that was going on, Krishna was invisible to the gopis, but he was seeing everything. And when he saw that the gopis, despite Krishna leaving him, right? Despite Krishna leaving them, the gopis still remained attached. Because in the material world, if somebody splits, you just say, well, forget you, man. There's a 500,000 other guys like you. But the gopis did not do that. Even though Krishna left them, they still remained and they were still saying, please, Krishna, be with us. So when Krishna saw how much they loved him, then he returned. And then Krishna explained to them, because they asked a question, Krishna explained to them that he is Atmaram Aptakam. He doesn't require anyone's love. He is self-satisfied. But then he said, but your love for me, that is the greatest thing. And because of your love for me, I cannot repay you. We learn in the Bhagavad Gita, Yeyata mang prapadyante, tang sataiva, right? Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you. Correct? You all know that verse in Bhagavad. But here with the gopis, Krishna says, I can't repay you for your love. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, I can't repay your love. So you'll just have to be satisfied with your own elevated consciousness, because I can't repay you. So for everybody else, Krishna is able to reciprocate, but with the gopis, he cannot reciprocate. Right? There is no debt ceiling. Krishna cannot repay the debt of the gopis. All right, let's go to text number 3. Iti drikswalila bir ananda kunde swagoshani majantama yapayantam. Sing it. Iti drik ananda swagoshani majantam akyapayantam tadiyeshita geshu bhaktair jitat vang punak prema tastang shatta vritti vande geshu bhaktai jitat bang punak prema tastang shatta vritti vande. All right, by such childhood pastimes as this, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy, and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence, that he is only conquered by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. This is the difference between Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, there is pure love, but it has awe and reverence, and it lacks the intimacy. Whereas in Goloka Vrindavan, the awe and reverence is gone, and instead there is deep love, but it has intimacy. Like Yashoda, who else can cradle Krishna in their arms and give him breast milk? Who else can take a stick and chase Krishna and make him cry? Krishna's only going to do this with somebody who is intimately, completely in love with them. And there are incidents, right? Previous to this episode, twice, Yashoda looked at Krishna's mouth and saw the universal form. And immediately, the intimacy was killed. And immediately, it was awe and reverence because she was seeing. And one time, she saw not only the universal form, she saw herself and Krishna inside his mouth. So she became bewildered and she prayed to Narayan. But then right after that, the love, the intimacy overcomes. But for a short while, she loses that intimacy and she's awestruck and reverent. But then, very quickly, Yoga Maya takes over and she just thinks, this is my son. I don't know what just happened. I don't know what it is, but Krishna is my son. All right, let's do text number 4. Varang deva moksham namokshavatingva nachanyang vrinneham vareshad apiha. Idam teva purnata gopala balam sadame manas yavi rastam kim anyai. Very nice. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha. Notice that. He's not even accepting Vaikuntha. Right? What does Lord Chaitanya say? Mama janmani janmani shrade. I don't care if I have to take birth again, which may be attained by executing the 9 processes of bhakti. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Bala Gopala, everybody say, in Vrindavan, may ever be manifest in my heart. For what is the use to me of any other boon besides this? So this Satyavrata, he is on a very, very high platform of devotion. Doesn't want moksha, impersonal. Doesn't want life in Vaikuntha or any other boon. He just wants this form of Krishna as Bala Gopal to be ever manifest in his heart. We're going to stop there because I want to read something. So if you collect the books, I want to read something which you might find nectarian for your Krishna consciousness. And among the posse here, you decide amongst yourselves who's going to lead kirtan. No, Hiran? Okay. And okay, Govind, can you do your service? Okay, can you discuss silently? Okay. I'm going to do this reading and then we're going to have arti. Let me get my little section here. I want to tell you all how much You made me feel so good today. Thank you very much. Now, where did I put that thing? I hope I still have it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Why isn't it there? Oh, here it is. I was looking in the wrong place. All right. So here is some nectar for you. So before Kartik started, earlier this week, I read a big bunch of information of how one should observe this month of Kartik. And I found some very nice quotes, which I hope will inspire you. Are you listening? So this is found in the Skanda Purana. There's a dialogue between Lord Brahma and Narada. So Brahma tells Narada, by reading the names of Sri Hari or the episode of Gajendra's liberation during this month, one will never again experience birth and death. So the Gajendra Leela is in the 8th canto. If you want to read that, I'm going to do a class sometime this month on the Gajendra and reading Sri Hari's names. Okay, more. Moreover, for those who hear Krishna Katha in this month, each one half verse or one quarter of a verse yields the fruits of donating 100 cows. Just by reading a verse about Krishna in this month. Here. Okay, read here. Who's going to, Indeed, O great sage, all other duties should be given up in favor of hearing scriptures from holy men. So this is what we should be doing in the month of Kartik, hearing from the scriptures from saintly persons. Be it for spiritual benefit or with other expectations, by engaging in Hari Katha, one uplifts hundreds of family generations. This month is like unbelievable. Now some people say, I don't care about my family generations. Then you're a low class. But those, you do. A person will burn up all sinful reactions and gain the fruit of 10,000 sacrifices for each day of Kartik spent in the delight of the scriptures. So, Madhav, this is the month you want to do some reading. Okay, good. Good boy. Excellent. Now, yesterday, I spent 3, 4, 5 hours reading the whole Rasa Leela, 5 chapters. So this is why I did it, because I read this earlier in the week. And yesterday started. So every day, I'm going to be doing the delight of scriptures. In fact, Madhusudana, everybody say, is not as pleased by sacrifices or by charity of cows and elephants as he is pleased by discourses from the scriptures during the month of Kartik. O eminent sage, by hearing Harikatha, one can transcend the distress accumulated in millions of births. Oh, here's a good one. By regularly trying to read Srimad Bhagavatam during this month, one gains the benefit of reading all the Puranas. There are 18 Puranas. You read Bhagavatam, you get all. Okay. Now, I'm glad I found this. Because so many times over the past 20 years, if I get a garland from the temple after the lecture, I'll give it to somebody. And 9 times out of 10, the person takes it off. And it always like, what are... I've given them the garland. It's like, are they afraid their clothes are going to get stained? I know one person told me, no, I'm not worthy. I was like, where the garland? Anyway, I'm glad I found this quote. For a person who devotionally accepts the garland of the all-auspicious Lord, there is nothing inaccessible in this world or the next. Such a garland bestows every pleasure and grants liberation. A garland from the Lord should be by all means secured because it will fulfill every desire. So if I give you a garland, wear it. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. And we're exactly on time. Let us begin the kirtan. And our pujari can begin his service.